Welcome to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm Peter Hostrasser, the host. Hey, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and let us know. Give us some feedback how we're doing. Also, if you get a chance, head over to disrupteducation.co. That is where you can see this podcast. You can also see blogs. You can connect with me and see everything that is going on around disrupting education, disrupteducation.co. The Disrupt Education Podcast is a proud partner of the EdUp Experience Podcast Network. If you go to edupexperience.com, that's edupexperience.com, you'll see all the leaders around education, the podcasts that are out there, and so much more around what is happening in education reform. EdUpExperience.com. Check it out. On this podcast, Rocio Perez is the president and founder of Inventiva Consulting. And I have to tell you, this is an amazing journey. Her life story will change the way that you view your whole mindset and what you can and can't do in life. She is a breakthrough innovator that guides leaders through strategic, easy, step-by-step systems to enhance leadership, mindset, marketing, and business strategies. She has some great advice around what you can do to take control of your own learning and your own journey. This is an amazing episode of Disrupt Education, and I can't wait to introduce you to Ms. Perez. Hang on, we'll be right back after these messages and get this disrupting education started. Are you an individual or business wanting to create an online course or training program, but are overwhelmed with the e-learning process and don't even know where to start? If so, you don't want to miss this free masterclass called Create and Launch a Successful E-Learning Program, Online Course, or Virtual Training, where you will learn the biggest mistake most people make with e-learning, the number one reason most e-learning programs fail, and the three pillars to create extraordinary value for your learners every time, and much more. Get instant access to the free masterclass right now by clicking on the link in the description. All you have to do is sign in and you will get instant access to this free masterclass right now. I recently asked Jake, who is a sophomore in high school, why he uses SpikeView to share his learning journey.
I think it's really cool that, you know, SpikeView is really putting that abstract into concrete data and knowledge and then displaying that to the outside world. And I think SpikeView is different than anything else out there. Like I said before, because it's really taking that, you know, those abstract skill sets and those abstract experiences and putting them into data that, you know, is actually mathematic and scientific and, you know, that matches you up with the best programs and, you know, best places for you. People, you know, who are really trying to make those changes in the world, and they're going to be using SpikeView because SpikeView is that app where you can, you know, take those experiences and take those passions and put them out there and share with other people. And that's, you know, that's really powerful. And to that, you know, that professional networking piece, you know, to be with other like-minded teenagers, that puts you ahead. That puts you ahead in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think anyone who uses SpikeView right now has a leg up in the future, and excited to see, you know, where those SpikeView alumni head up.
Head to SpikeView.com. Start your portfolio now for free. The Disrupt Education vlog can be found on YouTube. To hear it in podcast form, search Disrupt Education on any of the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Radio Public, Pocket Cast, Spotify, or Stitcher. Welcome to the Disrupt Education Podcast. I'm Peter Hostrasser. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us today. I have a wonderful, wonderful guest. Rocio Perez is with us today. Rocio, how are you doing today?
I am amazing, Peter. It's such a pleasure to be with you. Oh,
fantastic,
today.
Fantastic. Now, you have an amazing story to share, and we're going to talk all about education, and I can't wait to jump into it. So if you don't mind, can you give us a brief kind of introduction of who you are and what you are doing these days?
My name is Rocio Perez. I'm an international author, speaker, trainer, author of Unstoppable, 7 Steps for Becoming a More Intentional Leader, helping people achieve their greatness. We have the Mind Shift Game. That's what we're doing here today. And inside of the game is helping people transform their lives through gamification. We're really, really excited about that.
I've read your bio. It's so big. You've got so much amazing opportunities to help people and work with people, the gamification of education, your path. Let's jump into that path. You have an amazing story, and I would love our listeners to hear your educational path, both in life and obviously with all the degrees that you have, and how you got there. So if you don't mind, can you give us a little bit of that path?
Most definitely. Peter, I grew up in extreme circumstances. I was a little girl who had a dream and said, I want to become a teacher one day. And I'd run around with my tattered books and talk with anybody that would listen, who would really listen would be my Uncle Sergio at the time. And I'd say, someday I'm going to grow up and be this teacher. And I would talk and talk and talk to everyone. My brother, I would say, someday, what is your life going to look like? I fantasized. I was 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old. All the way through that, it was just fascinating. Yet I grew up in extreme circumstances, abuse of all kinds. We moved from point A to point B, and it wasn't like the movers are coming. Don't take the Barbies. There was no Barbies. It's whatever fit in the trunk of a car, and we would move on to our next destination. We moved to Colorado twice, and we were moving out for the third time. Growing up in that level of abuse, I lived in my head. I knew one thing for certain. If I can see a future, I can live in a future, and I wanted to live in that future. I knew that the life that I lived in would not be the life that I would live in the future. And there I was at the age of 12. I had suffered all types of abuse, physical, sexual, mental, of all kinds. I shouldn't even be alive. And I'm here today. I'm here today because of the decisions I made. I was 12 years old. I looked at my grandmother one day and said, Grandma, you know they're going to kill me. And her response was, I know. And I shared with her, I'm like, Grandma, I need you to help me. And it was my courageous uncle, who was 16 at the time, who said, I will help you. I ended up running away, living with my grandparents for a couple of years, running away from their home. Now I had been drinking, smoking, partying to numb the pain. I just couldn't fathom to even think of how parents can do this to their children to completely destroy somebody's life. And now here I was right away with my 22-year-old boyfriend, pregnant at the age of 14. And now 15 years of age, and I have a baby. I have this beautiful little being, and what do I do here now in my life? And I brought up that dream again. I said, okay, this dream is still there. And I knew being a Latina, single mother, family didn't support her, sixth grade education, menial jobs, that this child didn't stand a chance. And therefore, at the age of 15, I was knocking on the Community College of Denver's doors to let me in. And after long discussions, because I was a rebel, I wasn't going to take no for an answer. This is my lifelong dream, where people are saying, Rocio, you can't go to school. And I'm like, well, I'm not leaving until you tell me how I can come into school. This has been my dream. And Roxanne just finally got really, really tired and said, okay, the only other way that you can come in is if your parents sign. And I said, my parents have no desire to see me. And they didn't. I hadn't seen them for 3.5 years, and I was only 15 and a half at the time. And I said, okay, what else? You know, how else? There's got to be another way. And she goes, well, emancipation's the only other way. And it was like the biggest word I've ever had heard in my life. And I'm like, what is emancipation? She's like, well, you need to go and prove in front of a judge that your parents haven't been responsible for you. They're not taking care of you for at least 3 years at that time. And I said, well, that's easy. It's been 3.5 years. They don't even want to hear from me. And you would guess it, in a very short period of time, I connected with a friend, an older friend, who helped me find out how to get emancipated. I went before a judge, and at the age of 15 and a half, I divorced my parents so that I can go to university. which was an uphill battle both ways, what seemed to me, going to bed at midnight, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, preparing my son's father's lunch, preparing my son for the day. And by 4 a.m., I'm walking down the street with a heavy old backpack with a two-year-old baby in my arms and his diaper bag to make that almost 8-hour track back and forth to and from school every day. It didn't even include school time. I started mentoring students along the way. So fast forwarding, left that relationship, started mentoring students, completed school, earned 2 associates. I graduated with my students, which was fascinating. People that had gone to college, they had their degrees, they were on their second careers, that some of them were old enough to be my parents. Others, I would say, wow, you know, you graduated from high school. I didn't even graduate from high school, so I have no idea, no relatability in that aspect. And in moving forward, I earned my bachelor's and I worked all the way through university continuing to help people. And then by the time I applied for my master's degree, I had asked my son, he was 14 years old. I said, son, I really want to go to school. And he's like, mom, what is it going to take? I said, well, I can do it in 2 years. I can do a dual MBA. It wasn't even an MBA. It's like, I want it to. They gave me 6 years. And Peter, I said, I can do it in 2 years. Well, I did it in 18 and a half months. While I was traveling, working, piloting educational programs and curriculum from 0 to 8 across the state, working 70 plus hours a week, and going to school double time. I wasn't even allowed to go full time, and I was going double time. I'm like, hey, as long as they don't find out, I'll be fine. But here I am, you know, like fast forward, all of that. My son's 30 years old, if you can only imagine. I became a serial entrepreneur, and it wasn't the Captain Crunch type. It was more like the Special K with the berries on it. And moving forward, here I am helping people impact their lives, impact their worlds, create what's possible and problem. It's possible for me. This little girl who ran away, this little girl who contemplated suicide at 5. It's possible for anyone. We have the power within us now.
That story gives me chills every time. And thank you so much for sharing. The first time we talked about it, I was just like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And this is Wonder Woman. And I called you Wonder Woman. And I still believe that because you're doing some amazing things, even moving forward. Let's jump into that. You are really, man, gamifying education, mentoring. How are you? What are some of the big ways that you're changing the way people look at education in the situations that they're in? And you can take anybody. I've read about it. I've seen it. I've heard some of the other podcasts. Let's unpack that. Unpack some of the awesome things that you're doing about education. And then we'll get into how do you think we should change education systemically or beyond further. But let's start with some of the amazing things you're doing. You wrote a book. You have gamification. You're consulting. You speak worldwide. Pandemic or not, doesn't matter. Let's unpack that. Tell us some of the cool things that you're doing.
So a lot of the cool things we're doing, we're speaking everywhere to understand. And more, the most important thing is helping people auto-reflect. That's the hardest thing any one of us has to do at any given point in time. As we're working with educators, as we're working with people that are impacting education and so forth, getting people to think, getting students to think, who's the greatest individual that knows about their life, right? As a teacher, we are the ones, right? How do we auto-reflect to the degree of knowing what our impact is here now through coaching? We do it through our courses and we do it through a number of different things. Also with the students, understand how do you get into a student's world? How do we assume that we are, as educators, we're not the greatest teachers, right? We can become the greatest teachers by listening, by knowing, by understanding. It's almost like somebody calls you here, Peter, and says, I don't know what to do. I'm on this platform. And you tell them, well, get off of it and jump. Well, what if this platform is the only life source that they have, right? So in connecting with individuals, so that the greatest impact that we're doing in education is sharing with parents, sharing with educators, sharing with students, helping people have conversations that they have never had before. I've been a curious person my entire career. I remember doing a At Youth Rix survey response, and we were supposed to be working with the kids. And I said, no, I want to bring it to the parents too. Not only do I want to bring it to the parents, I want to bring parents and kids together. So we had kids, we had parents by themselves, and then we had parents and kids. And the conversations that came out of that, authenticity, vulnerability, connection, really seeing where kids are saying, hey, mom and dad, you're so worried about your new car or your house or whatever. How about we have a conversation? To me, that's where power is. I've been brought in where there's a 12-year-old girl is getting pregnant. Of course, you know, what's actually happening there? What are they seeking? Bringing a different level of understanding into that and knowing that everything has a ripple effect, whether we're talking about students and their way of being, whether we're talking about their academics, whether we're talking about their health and wellness, we don't even really consider all of that. How do we bring the whole student into everything that we're doing and engage them, help them to think for themselves, to become these extraordinary leaders of themselves? And help teachers also do the same. How does it look like where we're all moving at a cadence, where we both understand that there's value and that we're on the same team? It's not you're by yourself, I'm by myself, and that's where we go.
I really like that. It's almost bringing community together. It's amazing. I've seen it as an educator for 20 years, you know, and all different levels of extremities, right, of where parents have so many assumptions and you know, times are way different, and there's all these different separations just between the family, and then you add the layer of education, you add all these different things in there. So you raise the game up, and I want to talk about the mindset game and kind of unpack that. This is pretty cool. I'll give you a chance to tell people where you can get this, but talk to us a little bit about the thought process behind the game and how it became a thing and what's it doing to help.
Most definitely. And thank you. We've had so many individuals come up to me, Peter, as I was walking off stages, and I see what else? And I said, okay, you know, I failed miserably trying to help everyone. I wasn't even seeing the light of day. If you can only imagine 144 clients at one time on a weekly basis, it's impossible to have a quality of life. So I created Unstoppable there. And then people wanted more. It's like, how do I transform? And I said, okay, how do I take the cream of what I have inside of my programs? What's helping people walk in where they walk in defeated and they walk out like Wonder Woman and Superman? What is that? And for me, it was affirmation specifically. We included in the Mind Shift game five different categories, starting with courage. That's the first one. And then we built confidence as part of that as well, took it into vision. What does that look like for somebody to expand their vision powerfully? What does it look like for them to reclaim their power and to say, I can do this. Let me go ahead and do this. I have the courage. I have the power. I have everything. And then finally, to have the energy to be able to do that. The Mind Shift game brings just that. It gives people an opportunity to go ahead and create new patterns for themselves, right? Because we've been accustomed, you and I have been accustomed to hearing like 21 days to develop a habit. No, it's roughly 66 days to develop a habit because we challenge ourselves. And I'm sure you've been there where it's like, we start off really strong. I know I've started off really strong and then all of a sudden I'm backing off from that. And then I have to go back in. And then there's a moment in time like, okay, I've got this. Yet to develop a pattern, that's an entirely different animal from that's the moment that you started, got inside the car and you're like, oh, I know how to drive. And then you realize, no, I don't. Do you remember that moment? I remember it so vividly. I said, I do not know how to drive and I do not know how to drive stick shift. And then knowing that I had to learn how to do it, Now, all of a sudden, you know, I have my grandson. I have a 6-year-old grandson now. I only imagine Amelia's in the car, and I'm like, you know, I can be having a conversation with him, still paying attention to the road. Everything is so different. It's now I'm autopilot. I no longer have to think about hand over hand to steer and pay attention to all those details that I did. This is what the affirmations help us do. And we have inside of the categories in the game, we have I create, I move, I choose, I feel, I take, I use, I trust, I have, I love, you know, all of this, where it is continually expanding. So each one of those categories expands the way of being every week. People every week take one category and then they're popping up like popcorn and saying, like, now I feel much more confident. I took these actions. You know, I've had people who've never presented, all of a sudden they're presenting on a national level on week one. Okay. Can you only imagine what would happen in week 10? And week 15, and people who would tell their contractors would normally would have eaten the cost and said, no, you're going to actually fix this. These are the problems. This is not something that I created. Now let's go ahead and take care of this. They would have backed out on that. There's a journal. There's a beautiful journal that goes along with the journal of your new life. And that's where individuals take it. And they're taking actions to align to self. When we align to self, and it's one of the greatest things that we can ever do, is to be selfish with ourselves. For me, I'm very selfish. I go out on a walk in the morning. I meditate. I have a nice breakfast. All these different things before I even open up the doors for business, taking care of me. How do I take care of me first? I do my meditations, my breathing exercises, my everything. This is what part of the game is. And that's where the success is coming in. We cannot serve others unless we serve ourselves.
In education, it's so crazy in my own mind why we haven't done this before. Like, why is this not a part of the way that we educate and people become learners? We tend to obviously, you know, shove things down people's throat and say, you need to learn this, you need to learn this, without any empathy, without any realization of who that person is, without giving them, we call it learned helplessness, right? Especially at the high school level. Amazing stuff. I love the cards and throwing. Those are very, you know, the I statements all the way down is amazing. So if you're listening now, you're going to want to rewind and listen to all of those because there's so much power in that. So let's unpack a little bit. Number one, I want to be a little bit curious about, okay, when you didn't graduate high school and then you went into community college or the college and got your associate's degrees, and then obviously it was just the curiosity and your life and the way that you chose to respond did that. Tell us a little bit about that transition, because I know I have a lot of listeners like, wait, sixth grade to freshman year of college. What's going on there? How does that work? And kind of unpack that for us.
Well, I was committed. I would say the greatest thing, it was like my why was my son. There was no room for error. There was no room for mistakes. There was no room for giving up. It's like I knew one thing and I knew one thing certain. And also my heart called for it. My heart called for me to become that teacher, for me to help individuals. And it wasn't easy. And it wasn't easy. A lot of the times, Peter, I was in class. I didn't know what they were talking about. I would make a mental note or write something down and say, okay, I don't know what that is. I'll go to the library and figure it out. I don't know what that is. And sometimes I even had adults telling me like, Rocio, you should go back to high school. And no, this is where I belong. I even got kicked out of my classroom one day because I was being a rebel. And I just wanted to participate. And if you know as a teacher that you have a project that's coming up, give us every opportunity to participate. Don't spring it up on the last minute and then assume that only, you know, that everybody's going to have that opportunity. Know that there's only going to be a few people that have that flexibility. It wasn't easy. It was a lot of trial, a lot of error, a lot of asking for support. I wasn't confident to ask for support. I wasn't vulnerable to ask for support. And there was moments, one person that I was confident to ask was my advisor, Vanita, that I would walk up to her. And there was a hard moment. I even had the moment when I graduated with my students alongside of them. And Vanita had asked me, Rocio, you know, how does it feel? And I'm like, Vanita, like my whole family didn't even show up. I was in tears. And she gave me the greatest piece of advice that I've taken to this day for the past 24 years. I've taken it to heart. She said, Rocio, someday you need to create your own family and your own rituals and live life from there. To me, that's what's guided everything. I never felt alone from that perspective. So the journey was difficult. I wish there was a lot more help back then. I'm glad that there's a lot more awareness today and support for students and a lot more humanity. You said something that's so important. Let's bring our humanity, get into somebody's shoes. Where's the empathy, the compassion, the connection, the understanding? When you understand that here's this girl, this young girl who is trying to get into school, who's cleaning houses to make ends meet, who's mentoring students, who's working to the tune of 40 hours a week. Get into her experience. Tell me, imagine what it's like when she's dropping to her knees. It just brings tears to my eyes and just really gets to me to know that she couldn't afford to buy a gallon of milk. Like, she had to make a choice. Do I buy a gallon of milk? Or do I buy a pair of shoelaces? Get into that world. And let's see what that looks like for students today, to really be able to connect and allow ourselves to be authentic and to connect from heart to heart and be vulnerable. We can't expect people to be vulnerable unless we're vulnerable. Let's connect with them first. If we're here to serve them, serve them. Give them everything you've got, the good, the bad, the ugly. Show them who you are. And being empathetic and helping, coaching them to help them also to expand to see what's possible. Where do you want me to support you? Like, what does the support look like for you? What are the things that people are not, what's your biggest worry right now? We always think that it's school. For me, it was trying to put food on the table or trying to pay for daycare. Daycare was my biggest expense back then.
The concept of understanding. So when we all, I had a college professor who used to call it the theory of the slap, like to wake you up, like, you know, hey, you know, not that he would slap anybody, but it was just kind of a theory of that. And what he was talking about was when that vulnerability happens, then the real people come out, right? Like, so in empathetic ways, I think we were all vulnerable in the pandemic, and that was a theory of the slap, in my opinion, for a lot of people. And I think that we're at this turning point, like you said, if you don't know what's going on behind the scenes or if you're not empathetic at all, you know, maybe unit 3 doesn't really matter to this person right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And I really like that, because the vulnerability is really where it's at. And for me personally, as an educator, you know, I think there's always room for improvement. The other thing that I love that I just kind of wanted to restate is going back to high school, or just let's go forward, right? And that is, I just want to like just throw up my arms like, yes, right? Like, let's just keep moving forward. And you've always made choices to keep moving forward, and you help others make those choices moving forward. With all of that, and the changes in education and, you know, systemically, life, education, what are some things that you would encourage that maybe systems can change right away? And then we'll go off into a little bit of what advice would you give younger people in situations that are obviously traumatic, very, very difficult situations, and around their learning and curiosity. So let's start with education first. What are some things that you would like to see change just right now, or, you know, that should be implemented?
I would love for everybody to go through a coaching program on an ongoing basis so that they could get to understand themselves, go auto-reflect, discover who you are, where you've been, what shaped who you are and how you see the world. Once you know that, you will have the empathy and the compassion and the connection and understand where people are coming from, and no longer say to that little boy, because I've had this 20 years ago, I had a little boy. I was doing classroom lessons on nutrition education. Little boy, 5 years old, comes up to me, miss, can I have some string cheese? And I'm looking at this little guy. I'm like, of course, you know, you can have some. No, I want to take some home because my brothers and sisters are not going to eat tonight. until you know that. And it's not, we're not going to eat because we went to bed early. It's, we're not going to eat because there is no food. Until we can understand to ask questions, coach people, show them the possibility and probability that is before them, and to be able to see above and beyond their circumstances, then we have nothing to offer. Let's do that. Let's do that here now. And let's go ahead and bring it to everyone. And especially if we're looking, Peter, at saying, oh, we've done this a certain way. No, forget that, okay? The things of the past no longer work. As a matter of fact, COVID moved it all nicely around, and we know they weren't working to begin with. And now we have the blessing that a world pandemic has given us. And for students, I would say for students, be vulnerable, connect, find ways to develop yourself, find people to help you. I know I was deathly afraid of losing my son. My entire life, I was afraid of losing him. I was afraid of making a mistake. I was afraid I wouldn't even go out and hang out with my friends because I was afraid of losing him because of my age. How about we be a little more vulnerable and we be a little more empathetic and look at people through a different lens, because we hear the word student and what automatically comes, oh, you know, they're little troublemakers, they don't listen, whatever thing that is inside of us, we are actually viewing people through our own lens and with our own labels. We're not even relating or connecting to the true authentic human being that is before us, and we're making decisions. I'm going to share this thought with you. I was working on my memoir a number of years ago, and I called my mentor. She was 50 years old at the time. I was 15 years old. She's 50, 15. My son is 15 days old. Okay. And I had a number of confessions. I'm like, I never shared this with you. I was so afraid of losing my son. All these things. Here's this 42-year-old woman who's making these confessions, okay? And then she tells me, she calls me up and she's in tears. And I said, what's going on? She goes, Rocio, I always thought you were the problem. I didn't realize that it was the adults in your life that were the problem. See, we treat each other by our own misconceptions of who that person is. The only thing I was trying to do was survive and get away from these people that were hurting me. And I put up with a lot that I should have never had to live through. Should have never had my jaw dislocated, my nose broken, my ribs fractured. I should have never had any of that. Yet I did. Why? Because people had a misconception that I was the troublemaker.
Super, super powerful stuff. It is. You see that change on the education realm and in life in general. It is a game changer. I love the coaching model and the empathy that comes along with it, and understanding, you know, why we think, why I think the way I think. I got chills there. I love that. And man, I don't have anything to add on that. However, what I wanted to ask then is, so you do see a young person who is going through these challenges, and maybe they don't have the best teachers, and we know that happens. We know the best schools, or we know that there's a lot of things that are happening, a lot of isms and a lot of things that are going on in their lives. What word of advice would you give that young person who is going through trauma and other things in their lives that maybe not a lot of teachers or educators or even adults in general can see?
Find a way, because I do mentor a number of people right now who are dealing with horrific things. They're taking care of their parents. They're 22 years old in university and they've been doing it their entire lives. I mean, I get it. I've done it. I've been there. You know, we're 5 years old and walking ourselves to school 2 miles track. Shouldn't have to do that, right? What I would say to that young person is find a way that the strength is within you. Find somebody that can help you along the way to help you to transcend what is inside of you. Invest in yourself. If there's coaching classes, find coaching classes. If there's experiential experiences that you can go through, do that. I did a lot of my healing through experiential work, experiential conferences and learning, asking questions to myself, auto-reflecting. It was one of the hardest things. I just had an extraordinary breakthrough. When I was a little girl, I was told that if I told that I was being being molested, that I would be, that I, my grandmother would be killed, my great grandmother would be killed, my mother would be killed, and in the end, I would be killed. And so that fear and how we carry that with us into modern day, into whatever, it doesn't matter if we're 100 years old, we still carry it with us if we haven't transcended it and figured it out. Today, I broke through and I said, wow, you know, it's like I've been living my life with this fear in a particular area, and now I can let go. So auto-reflecting being one of the greatest things that anyone else can ever do.
Fantastic advice, and thank you for sharing that. I want you to let everybody know, how can they connect with you? How can they find your book? How can they find the game? Because I'm going to guess a lot of people are going to want to connect with you after this podcast. So how can people connect with you? How can they get their hands on this amazing gamification and all the programs that you do?
Wonderful. My number is 303-587-8367. That's 303-587-8367. They can reach me at Rocio at inventivaconsulting.com. They can look me up on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over the place. Twitter, for individuals to connect, you know, whether you're connecting through an event and so forth. And just look up Unstoppable 7 Steps for Becoming a More Intentional Leader. I'm in Denver, Colorado. You can reach me there as well. Most importantly, give me a call. Let's have a conversation. Let's see what's possible and probable for you and your students and the people that you touch.
It's an honor to have you on the podcast, Rocio. Thank you so much for sharing your story, sharing your vision, sharing your insights, and you choosing you, which is such an amazing thing that I can't wait to share this with my own students, to be honest. So thank you so much for sharing your journey, and just an amazing person. And listeners, you really want to connect. You are truly a disruptor of education in a great way in moving forward.
Thanks so much. It's such an honor and a privilege. Thank you for your love, connection, authenticity, and everything that you bring into this world.
Thank you all for listening today. We really appreciate it. Make sure you hit that subscribe. Check out the notes. Let me know how I can do better. Let me know what you like. We'll talk to you next time on Disrupt Education.